In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Prior to the gospel reading, our Lord told his disciples that not one stone of the temple will be left standing upon the other. Now the temple complex was roughly 540 yards long, which is well over a quarter of a mile. Destruction is coming on a massive scale. That led the disciples to ask a question. Really, two questions. Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus takes their two questions and gives them one answer. The sign of the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel. Daniel's vision blurs the lines between the temporal fulfillment and the spiritual eternal fulfillment. Because that temporal fulfillment is meant to lead and to be a shadow of the eternal fulfillment. Before the Romans occupied Judah and Jerusalem, the Seleucids ruled. The Seleucids were Greeks broken off from the Alexandrian Empire. When Antiochus IV came to power, he abolished the temple sacrifices. He got rid of them. He then set up an image of himself on the bronze altar in the temple of God. He then sacrificed pigs on the altar, which were forbidden for the Jews, sprinkled the blood of pigs on the holy objects, and made the priests eat their meat. Anyone who opposed him was put to death. 40 years after our Lord's ascension into heaven, the Romans ruled Jerusalem, and the emperor Tiberius set up an image of himself once again in the temple. The Jews who had believed Jesus' words remembered what he had said and fled from Jerusalem, knowing destruction was coming. Blood ran through the streets, so great was that destruction. The nation of Israel was wiped off the Roman map. Both of those are temporal fulfillments that point ahead to a far greater reality. We should see them as a mirror of the end times, meant to teach us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. In both cases, the sign is the abomination of desolation, an idolatrous image that is set up inside the temple of God. The abomination of desolation signals the great tribulation. For the Jews under Antiochus IV, it was the murder of anyone who opposed. For the Jews under the Romans, it was the complete destruction of almost all the Jews. So with the midterm elections right around the corner, it's tempting for us to take this politically, to see the abomination of desolation and the great tribulation as some political powers that move and shape the world. We see now everything is declared a crisis, from the smallest of things to the greatest. Both sides claim it's the end of democracy if the other side gets elected, and the media doesn't help. It's all foolishness, really. But Christ said that the abomination of desolation is inside the holy place, that is inside the church of God. So this has nothing to do with politics, whether it's the abomination of desolation or the great tribulation. It has absolutely nothing to do with politics because it's inside the church of God on earth. So this is someone who sets up idols inside the church next to Christ. Whether that's a physical idol, which we rarely see, but much more prevalent are the false teachings that are set up alongside God's word that men are forced to believe if they want to be part of that particular church. One example, there is a church body that teaches that if you believe that you are saved solely by the death of Jesus Christ, and by faith in him alone you receive that righteousness, then you are eternally condemned. In short, the abomination of desolation is the Old Testament word for the New Testament word Antichrist. This is the papacy. It is the Pope who condemns anyone who believes that they are saved by grace through faith. It is also the Pope who has decreed, and I quote, "It is absolutely necessary for salvation that every human being should be subject to the Roman Pope." So just as Antiochus IV set up his own image next to the altar of God, so the Pope has done the same. Christ is no longer the sole source of salvation, but you must also be subject to the Pope. Now, I do not say this to mock them or to exalt ourselves, but to open your eyes so you can understand what Christ is warning you of when he gives you the sign of the abomination of desolation. The presence of the papacy has been around for 1,500 years, at least. And so the Great Tribulation has been going on for that same amount of time. Certainly, our Lord is coming soon to put an end to the papacy and to redeem his people. Again, we're not talking anything about politics. The Great Tribulation is the false teachings that spread throughout the church on earth, the plethora of denominations, first and foremost led by the papacy himself, and the idolatrous worship erected next to Calvary's cross. For immediately after, Christ warns about the Great Tribulation. He then says that there will be false Christs and false prophets promoting their own ideas, their own visions, their own teachings. So do not be deceived by them. They have great signs and wonders, not miracles, but great acts of kindness and love and charity. They are generous to the poor. They are kind and giving with their talents and abilities. They quote the Bible. They help those who are in need. But all of that is nothing more than sheep's clothing, as Christ says elsewhere. For did not the devil also quote the Bible to tempt our Lord in the wilderness? And cannot even unbelievers outwardly keep the commandments of God, at least? So by their fruits you will recognize them. The fruits of a pastor are his words. What does he teach? What does he say? Particularly, what does he say about the way of salvation and the righteousness that flows solely from Christ? By God's grace, not everyone who follows these false teachers believe everything that these leaders say. But Christ does say that if these days were not cut short, then no one would be saved. Again, we're not talking about politics. I have to stress that. Politics doesn't send anyone to hell, but false teaching can. Even the elect would be deceived by the Pope, if that were possible. Even they might be tempted to think that he is a good and godly man, the leader of Christianity. So we live in the midst of false teachings spewing out from many pulpits. The setting up of man-made teachings next to the Word of God defiles God's church. And it looks like things have not improved at all. For 1,500 years, it doesn't seem like God has cut anything short. But we are not to view these last days as terrifying times. For the Lamb who was slain still lives. And salvation is found in him alone. He rules over all things, and he even uses false teaching to drive us back to the Holy Scriptures. He promised that all things would work together for our good. So is that really what God has said or not? What is the proper way of salvation? As lightning fills the sky, the preaching of the gospel has filled the heavens and the earth, shining in the darkness of this great tribulation and lighting the way to Christ crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. Like lightning, man is not able to conquer, control, or destroy the preaching of the gospel. One place may grow dark, but another place flashes with the brilliance of this light that comes only from God. So now you know what the abomination of desolation is. So heed Christ's warning. Flee to the mountains. Physical flight to Mount Saddleback will not help you in the least. Flee your idolatrous heart. Do not look back desiring your former way of life like Lot's wife, lest you be swallowed up by their idolatry. Flee as the psalmist encourages. I lift up my eyes to the hills of Calvary. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, who remade heaven and earth by his death. Flee to Christ. Do not listen to those who say that you are closer to Christ out in nature or in the desert. Yes, he is present there, but he is not present to give you his forgiveness there. Do not believe those who say that who direct you to the inner rooms of your own heart. Again, yes, he is present there, but he does not give you his forgiveness there. But as vultures gather around a corpse, so gather around him who has died and yet now lives. The light of his word reveals to you where Christ is present. He is present in his word, and he is present on this altar to give you forgiveness, life, and salvation. Flee to Christ, for you have but one God and one Savior. So now judge for yourselves if I have pointed you to Christ, or if I have set up another idol in God's church. St. John instructs you, test the spirits, that is, the pastors, to see if they are from God. Test them against his word, the only touchstone of source and truth. So if I agree with the scriptures, then listen. If I do not, then send me away. There is little time for pleasantries, for the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist, the papacy, has been around for well over 1,500 years. Flee to Christ in prayer, in word and in supper, for there alone you will find safety. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.